book of Nehemiah. Lesson will be in chapter 10, but we're going to be doing chapter 9, verse 38, the last verse of that chapter, which is really the leap board or springboard into chapter 10. And in verse 38 it says, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant, write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the love of the Heavenly Father that sent Christ to be our Savior. Lord, we thank you for the love of the Spirit who has to put up with us as he tries to lead our lives. And Lord, we pray you would bless these thoughts in the book of Nehemiah. And we thank you for men and women like Nehemiah who stayed true no matter what came their way. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The Hebrew word brit indicates a contract or covenant. And we find in this verse a binding agreement. Now I'm going to tell you this, that once we're saved, the binding agreement is that we have eternal life. Amen. Now, you do realize there are those who say you have to work to keep your salvation. That if you fail in your lifestyle, you can lose your salvation. Aren't you glad that our Savior saves us for all eternity?
Amen.
And I'm glad that 1,000 years down the way, he doesn't say, "Well, you know, you really haven't been doing what I wanted you to do. Kick you out of heaven." I'm glad that it's for all eternity. But many generations of God's Old Testament people made a formal and personal renewal of their commitment to the Lord. And I think that coming to church, we renew that commitment to our Lord. That we come with the attitude of worship, we come with the attitude of being instructed, and may I encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord. You know, it's easy to drift away. A number of years ago when our boys were still at our home and we'd gone up to the Keweenaw Peninsula and we were camping out at one of the campsites there in the Keweenaw. And Donna and the boys were on these blow-up rafts. You know what I'm talking about? They have the pedal at one end, and you can get on them. And did you notice who I said was in the water? Did you notice who I said wasn't in the water? Okay. And they got out on these rafts, and they began to drift. But they drifted, and before long, they were way down the beach. They weren't trying to drift. They weren't trying to go anywhere at all. But the fact is that you will drift if you're in the water. And in our Christian lives, if we're not careful, we will drift away from the Lord. And it can happen so quickly. But sins to be corrected are found here in Nehemiah chapter 10. There was not to be intermarriage with pagans. They were to keep the Sabbath holy. They were to observe the sabbatical. They were to contribute the temple head tax. They were to provide required temple offerings, to offer the firstborn and to pay all tithes. And all of these are found in chapter 10. The focus of most of the commitments is on worship, as reflected in the last phrase of the document. Look at the last phrase of verse 39. And I would hope that if you mark your Bible, that you will underline that last phrase beginning with the word "and." And we will not forsake the house of our God. You think that's a commitment we all should make?
Yes.
And we will not forsake the house of our God. Nehemiah 10. Last week we asked the question, was there dedication real? To which we said one can tell if it was real by the evidence seen. And last week we did submission to the Word of God. It's important that the Word of God is part of our life. Now, may I say this? It's nice if you read the Days of Praise or the Baptist Breviary, and I would encourage it. then I would say that it's more important that you read from the Word of God. That you take time and you know, some of you are reading through the Bible, and that's a very encouraging thing to do. Others, you have certain areas that you're reading in. Make sure you read from the Word of God. Make it part of your daily life. But hopefully tonight we'll get to two more points: the separation as the people of God and support for the house of God. So let's begin reading at verse 28. Separation as the people of God. And it says in verse 28, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Verse 30. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, then we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Separation. The Jewish remnant was surrounded by idolatrous Gentiles who wanted the Jews to become part of their social, religious, and business society. But the law of Moses prohibited God's people from living like the Gentiles, although it did not stop the Jews from being good neighbors or even good customers. Yes, they would mingle, but they were not to marry with them. They were not to be their best friends. I've long said, and you that know me for any length of time, I believe our best friends should be fellow believers. I believe our best friends should be those who love the Lord just like we do, because our friends will have an influence on us. And I believe that we need to have an influence on them in a very positive way. According to Ezekiel 44:23, it was the priest's duty to teach the people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Do you think your pastor should do the same thing? And yet, oftentimes, if the pastor gets up and preaches and says, this is what I think we should be doing, it's amazing and how many people say, that's fine for you. But we need to realize there is a difference between the holy and the profane. Folks, there's a lot of profane people in our society today. There are a lot of people that we should be able to look up to because of their position, and unfortunately, they live ungodly lives. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthian church, warned them by saying, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them. We live in the world, but we're not to act like the world. We are to be different. Does that put pressure on you? It does. It puts pressure. Because if you let people know that you're a born-again believer in today's society, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching. Separation is simply total devotion to God, no matter what the cost. Now, therein is the issue, isn't it? Total devotion. Because most of us say, God, you can have this part, but this part over here, that's mine. And that gets us into trouble. But that's what we're supposed to do. Warren Wiersbe gives this thought. Now, listen to what he has to say. Quote, when a man and a woman get married, they separate themselves from all other possible mates and give themselves completely to each other. You agree with that statement?
Amen.
Yes. It is total commitment motivated by love, and it is a balanced decision, unquote. They separate themselves from all other possible mates and give themselves completely to each other. But an interesting thought, and that's exactly what it means to be separate from the world. And may I say this, that there's strength in numbers. That when we are in fellowship with fellow believers, it encourages us to do the right thing. But what's that old saying? United we stand, divided we fall. So we need to keep ourselves committed to the house of God. Two special areas are addressed: marriage and the Sabbath. The danger of mixed marriages was the loss of faith on the part of the Jewish mate. In the book of Exodus chapter 34, we find that they were not to go after the other people of other countries because they would follow after their gods. And the Bible is very strong in its language. It says they will go a-whoring after their idols. In other words, idols will take us in the wrong direction. In one of the songs we sang tonight, it talked about idols and being cleansed from the idols. Are there idols in 2020?
Yeah.
I mean, they may not be a stone or the moon or the sun, but there are all kinds of idols in our society. And we have to be careful. How could a Jew married to a Gentile observe the dietary laws or celebrate the annual festivals? There would be constant conflict, which then would lead to occasional compromise and finally complete conformity. And the Jewish mate would have abandoned his or her spiritual heritage, remaining faithful to the teachings of the Word of God. The question has been asked, why would a Jew want to marry a Gentile? Well, probably for the same reasons that saved people marry lost people today. For affection, for social status, or they believe they can win the unbelieving pagan to their way of thinking. I am, in my counseling, to those who are getting married, I say, never marry somebody thinking you're going to change them. If they won't change before you're married, they're not going to change after you're married. God had a plan for the Jewish people, and compromise would pollute the individual, the family, the community, the nation. And we know that the Jewish people fought regularly with compromise. Mixed marriages created confusion. If one parent is wanting to do something one way and another a different way, it creates confusion. The observance of the Sabbath was a distinctly Jewish practice. Their Gentile neighbors would treat the seventh day of the week like any other day and want to socialize and do business. Now, we all remember when things were closed on Sunday. We remember when stores were closed and you could not shop on Sunday. But things have changed through the years, haven't they? And not for the good in some cases. But the Sabbath was not a day of work, but of rest and contemplation of things spiritual. It was to be a weekly reminder that they were Jews and that they had a special relationship with the Creator God. Should we have a special relationship with our Creator God?
Yes.
And yet many today in America have no relationship with their Creator God or with His morals, only with money and entertainment. Wiersbe comments, violating the Sabbath was a symptom of a deeper spiritual problem, rebellion against the Lord Almighty, unquote. Do we see rebellion in America today? We definitely see rebellion in our world today. We also find in this chapter thoughts on keeping the sabbatical year. Now, I'm going to read to you from a commentary about the sabbatical year and the year of your Jubilee, so listen carefully. Quote, every seventh year, the Jews were to let the land lie idle so that it might restore itself, an excellent principle of ecology. Of course, the people would need a great deal of faith to trust God for food for 2 years. Now, can you imagine being in the agricultural world, and on the seventh year, you didn't do anything to your fields? and you were going to expect to eat still. Would that take faith? That'd take a lot of faith. A lot of faith. But God promised to take care of them. After 7 sabbatical years, they were to celebrate the 50th year as a year of jubilee. And this meant trusting God for food for 3 years. 3 years. Can you imagine? You're a farmer and you don't plow your fields for 2 years. You would only live off what voluntarily came up. And yet they were to trust the Lord. There's no evidence that the nation faithfully celebrated these special sabbatical observances. This was one reason why God sent them into captivity, that he might give the land 70 years of rest. This would compensate for some 500 years of disobedience on part of the nation. Our God is long-suffering, but there will come a point in time in which he will say, enough is enough. And it's going to come to America. That one of these days, he's simply going to say, enough is enough. I have blessed you beyond measure. I have given you so much. You have turned your back. Only one word can describe their willingness to do this. Faith. How strong is our faith tonight? How strong is our faith? Can I tell you something? I think most of us figure out what we can afford. Instead of living by faith. Faith's hard. But to grow in faith is important. Point number 3. Their support for the house of God. Their support for the house of God. Beginning at verse 32, if you would please. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Kind of wordy, so be ready. Verse 32. Also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites and the people for the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons, and of the cattle, as it was written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and our flocks to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and of the new wine, and the oil under the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. In other words, they were going to give the first fruits. They were going to tithe. Nehemiah is written about 445 B.C., and we will not forsake the house of our God. Malachi was written in 397 B.C. approximately. And the Lord asked the question, will a man rob God? So what happened between 445 B.C. and 397 were the one hand, they're saying that we are going to bring our tithes and our offerings. And then, what's that, about 50 years, 55 years? Will man rob God? Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. The Lord is asking a question. Malachi is the spokesperson. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So it takes faith, doesn't it? To do the Sabbath, to do the sabbaticals, to do the year of Jubilee, to be willing to tithe. The Christian faith is that faith. Having faith in our Lord and Savior. Haggai, the prophet, chastised the people because the house of God had not been completed, yet they lived in nice paneled houses. He said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We need to consider our ways to make sure that we are pleasing to the Lord. As we said earlier, one word describes the actions to keep the sabbatical year, to tithe, and to give offerings. And that word is faith. Faith. Be willing to tithe. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now those are words that we can easily say. He'll never leave us. But do we believe it? Do we honestly believe that our Lord will take care of us? How strong is our faith? A little saying that my mother often quoted. There was a man, some thought him mad, for the more he gave, the more he had. I don't know how many times I heard my mother say that. But the fact of the matter is, you can't outgive God. God will provide. And down through the years, we have seen it firsthand in our life, that God provides. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also. Where is your treasure today? Now, there are many things that we treasure. I was looking, Brother Stephen, before your wife took out all those girls. Come on, we need some boys. We need some boys. But our children are treasures, right? We treasure them. How about your grandkids? Do you treasure them? Anybody in there have great-grandkids yet? Yes. Mary Ruth, you have one? Yes. We have 8 grandkids, and you know, we love them. They're treasures. How about your maid? Is that a treasure? I think so. You know, there are many treasures. How about your Bible? Is that a treasure? Your Bible should be a treasure. It is something precious. It's precious. How about your church? Is it a treasure?
Yes.
It ought to be. Now, we may not be the greatest and biggest and strongest, but, you know, I think it's something that we can treasure. How about your Christian walk? Is that a treasure? Is that something that's special? I think it ought to be special. It ought to be something. Back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10. And we'll look at that last phrase. And we. Now, it wasn't just Nehemiah, was it? No. It was Nehemiah, it was Ezra, it was the Levites, it was the priests, They said, we. Folks, like I said earlier, there's strength in numbers. And we will not forsake. What does it mean to forsake? I saw your mouth moving there, Tammy. What? To turn away from? Very good. We will not turn away from the house of our God. I want you to ponder something here in the last couple of minutes that I'm going to be speaking. Do you remember reading or being told of the Christians that were martyred in Rome? And you've read about how that they would be taken and put in the arena and the lions would be released? And I want you to ponder this. In front of you are 20 fellow believers. And they hear the gate open, and they hear the call for 20 more. What's going through your mind? Are you saying, whoa, I don't know. Would that take faith to walk up the ramp, to walk out into the arena, to hear the people laughing, calling out slanderous thoughts to you? Knowing that in just a few minutes, those lions that are out there are going to be released. Are you beginning to doubt your faith? After a while, those lions are removed because lions that are well fed aren't going to attack. And you hear the new lions being brought in. And you know that when they ask for the next 20, you're one of them. Now, there's a door back here that you can leave by if you recant your faith. You think they're encouraging each other? You think they're saying we're going to a better place here very quickly? Yes. But it would take a lot of guts, wouldn't it? To walk up that ramp knowing that death is going to be within the next 60 seconds. How strong is our faith? See, it's easy to be a Christian in America where we're not under any real persecution, where we don't have to worry about something coming in and taking us to prison for our faith. You know, there are people around the world today that actually have to commit themselves totally to the Lord. And we will not forsake the house of our God. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Was the church in special to the Lord?
Yes.
Did he not die for the church?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the fact that we can serve you. We're thankful, Lord, that we can be your testimonies. Give us strength, Lord, to walk day by day in your love and in your faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.